Oh, this morning, as we move into our regular service and our regular praise and worship of God in His Word, I'm going to ask that you turn with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 3. How about that? We're taking a little sidestep, but it's all related. Ephesians chapter 3, and I'll begin reading in verse number 8 this morning. I do ask that you stand with me in honor of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse number 8. And Paul is writing, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." Father, we do thank You again for this day, for the wonders of Your grace and mercy. We are thankful that You love us, for the wonders of the hope and the expectations that You fill us with. We are thankful. And Lord, we are thankful for this time that we have to celebrate You and to praise You. Lord, strengthen us, I ask, in this time. Help us. Fill us with Your Spirit to overflowing. Guide us so that we honor You as You have honored us. We ask it to Your glory alone, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. You know, every Christian ought to have this same kind of feeling that Paul is portraying before us in these first few words of this passage, don't you think? Paul said, I, who am less than the least of all the saints, have been given a privilege. I don't know how you feel about yourself in the presence of others, but all of us ought to have humility, don't you think? All of us ought to have an understanding of who we are in the sight of God and who we ought to be in the sight of men. It should be the same. A man or a woman that loves God is graceful and thankful because of God's goodness, who is willing to share that grace and that goodness as God guides and leads, and someone who always has a testimony of Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus Christ, none of this is possible, is it? And Paul is telling us that these unsearchable riches of Christ, what a privilege it is for us to have and to share, to make known to the world the goodness of God through Jesus. It is a wonderful privilege to share the good news of Jesus Christ. In Romans, he said, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." There are a lot of things about God that we cannot understand. We just simply can't comprehend. There are things that we will never know about God, at least in this lifetime. In the next, I don't know what God's going to reveal, but there are things God has not shown us. How many of you know that you are not full of the absolute knowledge of everything about God in this life right now? Amen? Well, there's one less secret, though. Who He is, what He does for us, what He has given to save us from sin, the plan and the mystery of the fellowship that was given through the writings, even as early as the Garden of Eden, the account of Garden of Eden, that a Messiah would come. There was a mystery in that fellowship with God and man and how it was going to unfold. And in Jesus Christ, it's revealed. The secret is revealed. In fact, we've been looking at that, haven't we, in the book of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things that were made through Him, and nothing apart from Him was made that is. Everything is through Jesus Christ. The Word is the light of men. The Word is the life of men. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What a fellowship it is to have God in the flesh with us. And what a mystery it was. The mystery of that fellowship between God and the Son and His creation. You know, there are a lot of teachers in the world today and people who are wrapped in the Christian teachings that will deny that there is a Father and a Son. They say that Jesus is God. And we say Jesus is God because Jesus made all that is, right? But they say Jesus and the Father can't exist together. But the Bible clearly tells us there is a Father and there is a Son. Oh, and by the way, there's a Holy Spirit too. Amen. That seals us for the day of redemption. And so we come up with this term Trinity and we begin to define God in these ways because in our limited ability to fully understand and describe who God is in totality, that's the only way we can describe Him. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Because that's how He has revealed Himself to us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Paul is even writing that to us. He said, all of this done, God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. God who created all things through Jesus Christ. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Father purposed our salvation. The Son secured our salvation. And the Holy Spirit reveals the truth of all that's involved. And what's yet to come. That's how the Trinity works within us. The fellowship of this mystery. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. It's a marvelous thing that we can know God in this way, isn't it? How many are happy that we don't live under the old sacrificial system? I am. A lot of people want it back, though. You know that? A lot of people want it back. I know this is true because people tell me I have to do certain things in order to prove I'm saved. Or I have to do certain things in order to get saved. I have to keep doing certain things to keep saved. Boy, what a misrepresentation of what God's plan and fellowship through Jesus Christ is all about. You know, once I am saved in Jesus, I am saved. He is the author of my salvation. He is the finisher of my salvation. Nowhere in between in that sentence does He say, and you get to make some changes along the way. He said, He is the author. He is the finisher. I am glorified in Jesus Christ. How about you? It is a wonderful thing to know who Jesus is. To understand the mystery of the fellowship that God had planned. That Jesus had planned. The Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. Before it ever was. He said, I give myself for you. We couldn't understand it then. But in the age of grace, we understand who Jesus is now. We understand the fellowship of the mystery that was hidden in God from ages past. This truth that has been given to us to announce to the world and to the powers and to the principalities, Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. And in Him I am alive, forgiven of sin. What a wonderful testimony that is. And all of this in Jesus was hidden in God from the ages. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know what the mystery is most of the time for most of the people? Or all of the time for all of the people? The mystery is this. It's three parts to the mystery. First, it is unexpected. What God is doing is unexpected. You know that, right? When you think you got God pegged, what happens? He pegs you back, right? When you think you know what it's all about, you find out, well, I was wrong. How many of you like to say that? How many of you can say this with me today? I was wrong. Y'all raise your hands, please. I want to let's say it. I was wrong. For the younger generation, can I get a whoop whoop? I love that. That's funny. It's unexpected. Unexpected. You know what else it is? It's unpredictable. This is what mystery is all about. Unexpected, unpredictable. And when Jesus showed up on the scene, they said, no, this can't be. Who said that, though, by the way? The people who should have known him best. This cannot be. Because I wouldn't predict God to do it that way. Unexpected, unpredictable. And he was rejected because it was unbelievable. It is unbelievable what God has done. It is unbelievable what God will do. That's why people don't come to Jesus today. They don't get the mystery. They don't see the parts and how they are part of all of this that is going on. It's unexpected. It's unpredictable. It's unbelievable because they don't have control. It can't be done their way. By the way, it never was our way, was it? It never will be our way. When we get to heaven, that is a kingdom of... You know, kingdoms are not democracies, by the way. You realize that, right? There's not going to be a vote on the national debt when we get to heaven. God is God, and God is God alone. There's none above him, there's none beside him, and there was none before him. There'll be none after him. And Paul said, I get to share the depths of these things with you. I'm still learning too, by the way. Paul had to have God reveal things directly to him before he got some of it. You know that? And that's how it gets written down to us in Scripture. Through the movement of the Holy Spirit and the revelation of things that were unknown, hidden in the ages that were past. And God's revealing it now through Jesus and through the opening of eyes by the Holy Spirit to guide us in His truth. And we get the testimony of who Jesus is. We get to share the goodness of who Jesus... Well, wait a minute. We just want to do the testimony part, right? Because in order to share the goodness, that means we got to get involved. Like God. That's not part of the mystery that I expected. That's unexpected, right? That's not what I had planned out because it's unpredictable. It's unbelievable that God would use me to do something like that. Well, believe it. Because God will use each of us to glorify Him. In fact, all of us will be instruments of glory for God, won't we? In the last days, when we're standing in His presence and God says, look at my work in all of those who believed. We'll stand in His glory and we'll be magnifying His glory before all that had rejected. As a witness, as a testimony to the truth of who God is and of His power in working in our lives, those who accepted it before those who did not. You know, we think of the glory of being with God, but don't forget the sadness of those who are not with Him. Those who are weeping and grinding their teeth in anger. Because God has not allowed them to enter into His presence because they They tried to come in some way other than through Jesus Christ. And there is no other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I asked you in a sermon a couple of weeks ago what it would be we would say to the world if we had a chance. As a keeper of the testimony of Jesus Christ, there are things that we need to say to the world. We need to say it loudly. We need for them to hear. We need to share it in words and in deeds, in faith and in prayer and in love. We need the world to know that God is alive. Even if they can't see Him, they see Him in us. Even if they can't experience Him, they can see Him being experienced in us. Even if they don't know how to describe Him, they can describe by what they see in us. And if I had something to say to the world based on this testimony that I have, this testimony that you should have, I would begin by saying, listen up! Wouldn't you start something like that? Listen up! All of you who are lost in sin, listen up. In Him, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through the blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Listen up. In Him, we have forgiveness of sins. In Him, we have life. Eternal. In Him we have hope that never dies. In Him. In Him. And you can have it too. It's not just mine. It's not just those who went before me. It's not just for those who stand in a pulpit or teach a Sunday school class. It's not just for the kids of those whose parents were deacons or piano players. It is for every heart that believes and every tongue that confesses Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
All who are lost in sin can be redeemed in Jesus Christ. Boy, that's a good word to start with, isn't it? Listen up! All of you who are lost. You got to get them to understand what being lost means, though. That's part of the battle there, isn't it? You're lost. What do you mean I'm lost? I know where I'm going. I don't have to ask directions. Amen. We'll just move on because I'm not going to meddle with that, guys. Right? How many of you know where you... Well, you know, it's easy today, right? We have Google. How many of you ever had Google steer you wrong?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Google will get you in the wrong place, too. God will always get you where you need to be.
Amen.
And God will always bring you home. God will always bring you home. I think the next thing I would say is this. Listen up, all of you who are in power. Listen up. If you have a position that is of prominence over people and you make decisions that impact people, even if it's just you as a mother and as a father in a home, listen up and hear this about Jesus Christ. To those of you who think that what you say is going to be written in stone and it's going to be, to those who think they have power over all, to those who think because they command and they direct that it will always be according to their will, listen up. Hear this about Jesus Christ. Paul writes in Colossians, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. To those of you who have power, hear this. You're still in second place. You're not in charge. You've been handed something to be over and to manage. Do it well. Do it with the knowledge of who God is. Do it to honor God and to love the people that you are over. Because all things are through Him and for Him. Listen up if you're in power. There are hard decisions to make. The first one begins with you. On how you will lead and how you will manage, how you will direct, and how you will live it before those who are in your charge. Listen up. Everything is God's. It's by Him and for Him. Unexpected, unpredictable, unbelievable. And the more power we have, the more unbelievable it becomes to us that we're not in control. Jesus Christ alone. And this is what we are here for, to make this known as a witness before all the powers and all the principalities, whether in heaven or in earth, to make known Jesus Christ is Lord. And if He is Lord, we ought to hear what He has to say. We ought to be the example of what He asks us to be. Jesus Christ. Are y'all getting the picture on Jesus Christ? Amen. John began there in chapter 1. What a wonderful, wonderful portrait of who He is. That mystery of who He is. He is no longer unexplainable. He's not unpredictable to us anymore. It's not unbelievable to me what I have seen God do in my life, what I have seen God do in the lives of others. One less secret. God keeps removing those secrets if we open our eyes to see, if we open our ears to hear. All of it points to Jesus. I'm sharing Jesus with you today. How many of you get that? Amen?
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the only way. Jesus Christ is the only way. One last word for you then. If I could share this with everyone, including those who ought to know Him best, those who claim to be saved in Jesus, I would say this to everyone. Listen up, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. Boy, Christians ever get to that point? Weary and heavy laden? If you get that way, imagine how much more those in the world must feel it. Have you forgotten what it feels like to be absent of that seal of redemption? To be absent of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ? And if we who have these things can grow weary and heavy laden, imagine what happens to those who don't know Him. Those who are still lost in their sin. Still searching, but they don't know what it is that they're trying to find. Filling that void with just anything they can grab for the moment to find satisfaction in the moment. And just heaping sin upon sin upon sin. And worry upon worry. And lie upon lie. And problem upon problem. Listen up, everyone who is weary and heavy laden. We speak to you about Jesus Christ, who saves from sin, who removes all of that hopelessness that just keeps us under the water where we can't ever catch a breath, keeps us chained to the bottom so that the water is just lapping above our face. We might see the air, but we can't breathe the air. You know what that kind of feeling is? It's a crushing kind of feeling. It is a hopeless kind of feeling where it's worthless to fight. I have no hope. Listen to what Jesus Christ gives. He gives forgiveness of sins. He gives hope of life eternal. He tells us that no matter what we face in life, He will be with us. He won't leave us, forsake us, or abandon us. He's not telling us we won't have trials or tribulations. He said, you will. He said, take up your cross daily and know that I am with you. Take up your cross daily and follow me. You know what we always miss is this, is that when we pick up our cross, we're not walking alone. We're still walking behind the one who carried it first. We just got to keep following. When the burden gets heavy, keep your eyes on Jesus. And if you can't look up, just look for the little groove in the sand where He's dragging the end of that cross and just keep following that. There is a place coming where you can rest. I know that. Because in the promise of Jesus Christ, I have this. Listen up to you who are weary and heavy laden. Jesus says this. I go. How many of you know? I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be also. There you may be also. And I will come again and receive you to myself. Why? That where I am, there you may be also. Why does He build a place? So we can be with Him. How are we going to get there? He's going to come get us so we can be with Him. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Where's He going? Home. How do we get there? Follow Him. And if we get to a void that we can't cross, guess what? He's going to lift us over. If we fall into a pit, guess what? He's going to lift us out. Because He is the author and finisher of my faith. He's already signed my copy of that. How about you? I am redeemed in Jesus Christ. I am not without hope, though I have trial and tribulation. I am not lost in my ways because the light always shines before me. And when I get weary and heavy laden, I know rest is coming. Because that's who God is to His people. That's who He is to His people. He loves and He cares and He keeps. And it's all in Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, who when He left sent His Spirit to keep us in His truth. He didn't leave us. He didn't abandon us. He hasn't forsaken us. He has sealed us for the day of redemption with His Spirit. I've got part of God with me everywhere, every day, every moment, every joy, every pain. God is with me. So I always have hope. Do you always have hope in life? Isn't it wonderful to know that you always can have hope? That you always should have hope if you are a believer in Jesus, have made that profession, have been sealed for the day of redemption. Why do we lose hope? Because we forget who God is. Because we forget who we are in relation to God. We forget that God is unexpected in things that He does. Unpredictable in what He does. And sometimes remarkably unbelievable in what He expects and still accomplishes to his people. But that's what really makes it good, that journey. A good journey ought to have things like that, don't you think? Unexpected, unpredictable. That was just unbelievable. Amazing. How many of you like that word, amazing? How many of you like that word, remarkable? Well, then you ought to like this one, Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, why not? With all that He has done for you, with all He will do for you, why not? If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, then you are lost in sin. And I hope that you heard me when I said, listen up. If you are weary and heavy laden and have forgotten who Jesus is in your life, I hope that you listened when I said, listen up. And if you feel that you are a person of prominence and power, I hope you hear me. Listen up. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way, the best truth, and the only life. And I pray that you know Him. We're going to close. The altar will be open in a moment. Don't leave without Jesus. You have time. Use it wisely. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your love and Your mercy and Your grace. Lord, we thank You for so many things that we don't even know. But Your blessings are upon us, so we are grateful. And Lord, we have enduring hope always because of You. How wonderful it is. And I pray, Father, if there is one here who does not know You as Lord and Savior, Lord, speak to them now. Guide them to the altar. Guide them to You and to salvation in You. Lord, we ask it to Your glory alone, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The altar is open.